Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hot Body Dawson Pow Pow Pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to the Friday episode. I'm just going to begin with a little bit of correspondence that I read when I was looking through the emails earlier because I thought we haven't had any emails from the listeners featured for quite a while. And I don't even think we've been fucking reading them, to be honest. This one is from Paul Brammer, who's IFS, because he sent it through the IFS message system. He says, "Hi there, my son created a catchphrase. Today I was walking my six-year-old son home from school, and he was trying to make a deal with me for some sweets or some such garbage like that. I forget the details, but his offer was ridiculous. When I told him no, he looked at me incredulously, took a breath, then exclaimed, 'You've got my ass up the street!'" Wow. I mean, for a six-year-old, quite earthy.
That's very good. It's six-year-old banter.
It's good.
Len's come up with a new thing that amused me this week along those lines, which is he wants to do a chess challenge throughout.
Right.
February, where we play each other every day and keep a tally, right?
Okay.
Fine. It's really good for the Just Rest lifestyle,
definitely.
Bit of chess.
Chess is the perfect sport for it, yeah. Are you both good at chess?
No, I'm no good. He taught me.
Right.
When I was a kid, my dad, I would go around there for a weekend, right, my dad was forever trying to make me, like, more sophisticated than I was capable of being, right? So,
backgammon, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he'd be like, "Right, let's play some chess and I'll put on this classical music." I'd be like, "Oh, for fuck's sake. Listen, I can see what you're doing and I appreciate the effort you're putting in, but trust me, you are barking up the wrong fucking tree. Try one of the others." And so I just wasn't interested. I always just wanted to watch Dukes of Hazzard. But then years later, Len expressed an interest in chess and I was a bit ashamed because I thought, oh, this is one of those things that a father should be able to pass on to son, but I don't know how to. So I thought, quick as a flash, I thought, do you know what we should do? We'll go around and we'll get Barry to teach you how to do it, right? Yeah. So he goes, okay. So I called up my dad and I went, look, we're coming round so you can teach Len how to play chess. Mm. My dad was like, yeah, fine. Do it. So he taught him.
Oh, I have more luck than with you, you cunt.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think that was what it was like. And he did, because whereas he had tried and failed with me, like, over a period of about 5 years, Len got into it straight away. And then Len, subsequently, I bought Len, like, a cheap, like, entry-level chess set from the toy shop. And then Len taught me. So eventually, it's quite a nice story. Eventually, my dad did sort of indirectly end up teaching me via my own son.
Yeah.
And so we're sort of fairly evenly matched. I mean, he's obviously better than me, but it makes for a good game. Anyway, he said that we had to make up teams because we've been really into watching Cobra Kai, you know, the Karate Kids Netflix show. And in Cobra Kai, they have awesome names for their dojos. So obviously Cobra Kai is the main one. Then there's Miyagi-Do. And then in the more recent series, they set up a Splinter one, which Johnny, who's like the kid who's the baddie in the movies, but in the TV show is sort of more of a sympathetic character, but is still very much a kind of a douchebag. He calls his new splinter group Eagle Fang.
Do I need to have seen Karate Kid to enjoy Cobra Kai?
I think no.
Okay.
I think it enhances it if you know the backstory, but they explain the whole backstory in it. Because the whole point is, it's really, I mean, on the one hand, it's fucking preposterous, right? Really silly in a sort of very 80s kind of way, right?
Right.
But on the other hand, it's really, it's quite sort of deep because it's about these two people who are now in middle age and have got the stresses of middle age, like parenthood and, and whatnot, and broken dreams and all, and all the rest of it. And their rivalry still kind of hasn't gone away, right?
Mm.
And they switch the sympathies because in the original film, you sympathise with Ralph Macchio's character. And then in these ones, you sort of think, yeah, maybe he's a bit of a goody two-shoes. And the other bloke was a bit of a bully, but only because he was damaged and unloved himself.
Yeah.
Right? Quite good.
Okay.
Anyway, Eagle Fang is obviously an amazing name that is built to appeal to a nine-year-old boy. So he liked that. So we both set up our own chess clubs, rival ones, and we're even getting the Latvians to do some T-shirts. And my my one's called Lethal Wolf Chess, and his is called Iron Tsunami Chess.
Wow, that's massive.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be pretty.
Iron Tsunami. That's lethal.
Iron Tsunami. Yeah. Because I thought he'll never be able to think of something like that's like fucking madder sounding than Lethal Wolf. But of course, Iron Tsunami in a fight, you'd back the Iron Tsunami, wouldn't you?
Right out of the park with an Iron Tsunami. Yeah. No one survives an Iron Tsunami.
Exactly. He goes, Jesus. I've seen your so-called Lethal Wolf.
Lethal Wolf. You pathetic Lethal Wolf.
I'm just going to fucking, but not so lethal now, you cunt. I've just blown you away amidst an iron tsunami.
Crushed you to death, you fucker.
Fucking dickhead wolf. I have got a wicked logo for it now. It's going to be a wolf stood on hind legs.
Yeah.
In dark black, like Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
And chomping on a cigar, one of them really fat ones.
Yeah.
And firing an Uzi.
That's good. That's a very lethal wolf. Because you'd assume that the wolf would just be lethal from its teeth. And maybe it's claws, but no.
This one's got fucking loads going on. If it doesn't kill you with its claws, it'll kill you with its gun. If it doesn't kill you with either of those, it'll kill you via the passive toxins of its big fat cigar.
Secondary smoking.
Yeah.
It'll kill you in 30 years' time.
I had this wolf who was bagging to smoking. Fucking did me, didn't it? Roy Castle style. Fucking did a Roy Castle on me.
Lovely stuff. So that's your chess club. I don't even know how we got onto this.
Oh, it's because of that letter. I've got a letter, actually, because we're not doing life logistics at the moment. This is, we can sort of put some time into reading them out
just,
here.
It's just rested. It'll be back in probably 2 weeks once we get through Phil Collins' Live Aid extravaganza.
And any other history stuff, but we can't think of any other history moments. So, dad napping was a new item that started last week because I dad napped my mate Ollie's dad, who happens to be Steve Jones out of the Pyramid Game. I did call Ollie and say, look, you better know, because obviously he doesn't listen to this podcast. No. Why would any of my mates who have accidentally, like my old mates from school or whatever, who've accidentally encountered this podcast or been made aware of it secondhand usually, are absolutely incredulous.
Yeah.
But the idea that I would be talking, that I would be rehashing moments like Matthew Judkins shitting out of a tree and somehow monetizing it.
Yeah.
They're just like, what? Who cares about that? And I go, well, you'll be fucking surprised.
Yeah. Their interest has been fleeting. I mean, that just shows that they've probably passed through the era where that kind of thing means anything to them. Whereas
they've moved on.
Our listeners are young, thrusting, you know, energetic people.
Well, the key problem with my friends is that they've moved on and matured, whereas I haven't.
You have not.
You'd think that was a flaw, but in fact, it's to my to my advantage. Advantage, Sam. I'm immature. I haven't moved on from any of the silly things that happened. Right? So I thought, right, Ollie's going to find out about this secondhand because he'd made me aware that, you know, sort of, there's some blokes at my work who listen to something that you do called a fucking podcast.
You've got a time machine?
What the fuck? What the fuck's it? What are you doing now, you knob? And I'm like, yeah, it's a podcast. And you talk to me, mate, about things. Right? You go, all right, well, whatever. Just don't ever talk about me because people at my work listen to it. So then I thought, oh, fuck. So I called him and I said, listen, look, I've talked about, like, kidnapping your dad, dadnapping.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck are you on about? So I said, well, you know when I went out for a coffee with your dad behind your back? And he's like, yeah, that was pretty weird. So anyway, then I said, I'm just giving you a heads up. So he said, well, I'm brings it back. And then he went into work on Monday and I just got a text going, your dad napping trap has worked. And oh. I go, what do you mean? He goes, people in my office have heard about the dad napping incident now and are asking questions.
I love it.
He's given me a list of things because now he's like desperately racking his brain.
Mm.
For other things that I could chuck in, like grenades.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, me and him have been best mates since we were like 2 years old. So it's a lifetime of stuff.
Yeah.
Incidents. And so he's had to quickly start reviewing what he can fucking remember, which isn't much, right? Thank God. I've somehow managed to retain it, all the information. And he started giving me a list of things that I can never discuss or reveal.
Right.
Some of it I've already revealed, but just I've never mentioned his name, so you know. But it's like the Louis Collins situation all over again. You forget that this podcast goes out to the real world, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it could come back and bite us. We could have to seriously edit a lot of episodes one day.
You're slightly more cautious because the only thing that I can think of that could come back on you that I think about sometimes is the time that some mate of yours was knocking on your door and then called from a phone box outside your house and you lay flat on the floor of your living room trying to hide from him. But like, yeah. Wasn't it for like an hour or something?
The phone rang for about 40 minutes, yeah.
And you were like, flat.
Flat.
Absolutely, SAS style.
Absolutely. Spread-eagled. Thing is, though...
The thing that would...
Yeah. That's not going to come back because he's dead now.
Ah!
So...
Thank God.
And well, also, no offense to his relatives, I hadn't had any contact with him for about 15 years before he died anyway, so it's all good, I think.
Oh, well, that's a result. So what you're saying is in future I should try to limit some of my salacious anecdotes to only dead people.
All of our anecdotes should only be about dead people, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The dead
podcast about dead people we've known.
Dead guys.
On the subject of dadnapping, Barney's been in touch. He's emailed us. Oh, no. It says Barney at the top, but at the bottom he signs it George. Mysterious.
Oh. Mate,
don't be emailing me from one fucking address and with one name and signing off with another name. Don't play games. Right, anyway, dear Andy and Sam, I was the victim of dad napping. I was away on holiday in Australia when one morning I woke to see an email from a friend entitled... My new dad. Oh, I opened the email to see a number of pictures, a couple of which showed my mate sat in the pub with my dad prior to going to watch Plymouth Argyle, which was until my holiday, me and my dad's weekend activity.
Oh.
Then there were several photos of my dad and my mate in dad's kitchen with my father teaching him how to bake bread.
Jesus.
They looked over the moon in each photo. They both still speak about it to this day. I don't think I'm seen as a son anymore. Keep up the good work, George in Plymouth. That is classic dad napping. If you want my sympathy, George in Plymouth, you haven't got it. In fact, your mate has got my utmost respect because he has pulled off a classic dad nap in there.
Well,
the photos and everything. Photos, bread baking, visits to the football. This is... absolute textbook dad napping.
And I'll say this as well. It seems that the dad is very complicit in this as well.
Do you know what I mean?
He's going along with it.
Yeah. He'll know what's going on.
Fucking nasty.
But to be honest, I could imagine doing that. Listen, we all crave more love and respect and appreciation from our kids than we get.
Of course we do.
We all do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even, you know, I'm not saying my kids don't love or respect me, but it's never enough.
Yeah.
It's never enough. I mean, especially me. I mean, I'm notoriously, I'm famous for my neediness, aren't I? So you can imagine.
Pretty much.
To some extent, you could say, I am defined by my neediness. I'm a needy person.
It exudes you like a halo, almost.
Out of every pore.
Out of every neediness.
Just needing constant reassurance.
Cosseting.
Right. Like a cat who's just fucking constantly clawing at you when you're trying to watch the telly. Right. Anyway, so you can imagine it's a nightmare for my kids. So you always want more. And this is a great power play with which to get more from your kids. I mean, it's a gamble because it could push them away.
It could do.
But you would hope, and I assume that George's dad was hoping that he'd think, yeah, cunt, see?
It's messy.
You're not the only son figure on the market.
Yeah, it's messy and it's complicated.
Don't take me for granted. So that's what's happened there.
I've just seen, I don't know the full story, but on EastEnders, Sharon is trying to kill Ian Beale, apparently. And a storyline that's coming up is she's going to try and kill him with sex. Now, do I want to watch that? Do we need to know about that?
I definitely want to watch that.
How extremely graphic is that going to be?
I'm telling you, this is a great storyline because instinctively you think if any woman on British television was capable of killing a man through sex, it would be Sharon Watts.
Sharon Watts, right?
And if there was any man sort of brittle enough to be killed by sex,
it's fucking
Ian Beale.
Sounds like a job done, doesn't it? Yeah.
This story writes itself. I mean, it's brilliant.
It's amazing. I've always
From an early age, I always had a really big thing for Sharon.
I mean, I've written to Grace Jones and I've volunteered to die by sex with her, if that's something she wants to do. If she ever fails. Mm. Do you remember when that fella in Germany killed someone and ate him? He was a cannibal.
Yeah,
and he had permission,
well.
Didn't he? He had permission from the fella who he killed.
That must have been a night. Oh, mate, listen. I'm going to write it down, in fact, so everyone knows. I'm going to write this down and sign it, right? Giving you permission to kill and eat me.
I've had enough. And if I'm going to go, I'm going to go in style. Do something a bit quirky.
And if someone's going to fucking eat me, which let me tell you, someone's going to, I want it to be you. You're my first choice. It's either you or Jay Rayner. The lad who does all the restaurant reviews and that in Britain. He's good, he is.
But I'm not sure he'd be into it. I've written to him, but he hasn't got back to me yet.
He hasn't got back to me.
I'm in an hurry, so it's going to be
good. He'd do a right good fucking write-up of it as an all in his fancy magazine.
Yeah.
That's what it tasted like.
So, yeah, I've corresponded with Grace Jones about quite happy to die.
So you wrote to her and said, would you like to kill me by sex?
Grace Jones hasn't got back to me yet, no.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Have you ever seen the James Bond film A View to a Kill, which stars Grace Jones?
I haven't.
In it, Roger Moore is about 100 years old in this film. I mean, Roger Moore actually had a stunt double.
Was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And he was way, way past it. Like, James Bond at this stage as a franchise was on its last legs, right? Mm. And Roger Moore literally was on his last legs. And he had a stunt double for even the bits where he had to get out of a chair. Like, not like just the bits where he's jumping out of helicopters. If you saw him standing up, it would cut to from behind. And if you pause it, you can quite clearly see it's someone else standing up out of a chair because Roger Moore would take like 10 minutes to get up out of a chair, right? But in it, he's really old. And there's this really weird scene where I can't remember why, but the baddie is Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
And the baddie's girlfriend is Grace Jones. Mm. And they're living in this country manor, and for some reason James Bond is there, right? He's staying the night, right?
Right.
But they know who he is. He's pretending to be someone else, but as usual, they always fucking know who he is, really, right?
That's
and he decides, like, I can't remember why he decides it, but what he does is he sneaks out of his own room, sneaks into Grace Jones's room, right? Mm. strips off bollock naked and just gets under her sheets. She's not in the room yet. And just thinks, fuck it, I'm just going to wait for Grace Jones here. Even though she is the bird, she is the bird of the geezer whose house it is. Imagine that. Someone asks you to stay over and you think, in fact, it's very similar to, I think, what Roy Race tries with Blackie's wife in an early episode of the Melchester Odyssey.
He cuckolded Blackie Gray, didn't he? Yeah.
Under his nose.
Under his nose.
He kept trying to ply Blackie with drink so Blackie would fall into a drunken coma and then he could get his Mrs. Blackie upstairs.
That's right, yeah. It was when Penny had gone away, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he was all over the shop.
So James Bond is basically...
It was a bad period. Yeah, James, so she comes back to...
He's in this castle or whatever, and he's going, right, I'm James Bond. And the one thing about me is I fucking need to have it off. And the only one I can have it off with here is the baddie's bird. So here we go.
So be it. As I understand it, they got one of those setups where they've got separate rooms, which plays right into my hands. So last time I saw a setup like that, it was fucking the Queen and Prince Philip. They had separate rooms as well. All the posses do it. I won't tell you what happened in that story, but let's just say I was on Her Majesty's secret fucking service that night.
I mean,
right?
On Fawlty Towers, Basil and Sybil, they've got separate beds, but they're in the same room. But this is next level. Different rooms.
This is next fucking... I don't know. Other people's marriages are not my business. However,
whatever works,
if you are going to have a setup like this and invite a man like me, James Bond, to come and stay over, like, then it's a fucking red rag to a bull. It's an open invite. I am going to sneak into your missus' room, strip naked, and get under the duvet.
Now, I know nothing about this, because all I know about this film is from the bits that's in the video of View to a Kill by Duran Duran.
At the Eiffel Tower,
That's all I know. So I'm not familiar with any of this.
I mean, it's the best bit. So, but in this bit, he climbs into room, and then she's going to bed, and she looks through the door, and he's there, like, looking 100, with a really orange tan. Like, he looks like a skinnier Donald Trump. He's got this really orange Donald Trump and this sort of Brillo hair that's, like, badly receding. But of course, he's Roger Moore, so he doesn't give a fuck. No. As far as he's concerned, he's as attractive as he was when he was 21 years old.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, hello, Grace Jones, or whatever her fucking name is. And she clocks him, right? And then she sort of thinks, a bit weird. And then she looks back down the hallway and Christopher Walken, the baddie, is there. Mm. And Christopher Walken does this amazing look at her as if he just nods, shrugs and sort of goes and points as if to say, fucking go for it, mate. Really weird. He finds it laughable. Right, he's trying to power play me, but I'll power play him back by going, fine, be my guest, have it off with Grace Jones, which we're led to believe he does. But the reason I bring it up is I always think, fucking hell.
He would die.
If Roger Moore would have died in seconds of that encounter. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want Roger to go that way. I'd be happy for you to go that way because it's what you want.
I don't mind. I'm not ready to do it just yet. It's just I'm trying to put the building blocks, if you like, in place.
We're all trying to work out how we want to go. Some people are arranging to be eaten by a friend. Some people are arranging to fuck Grace Jones to death, be fucked to death by Grace Jones.
Death, yeah. I mean, I think
some of us might just go to a Swiss clinic and ask for a load of morphine.
Euthanasia, I think, is going to become more prevalent over the next couple of decades and it'll become normalised. Because the situation where people just, you know, rot away to nothing in a care home away. Fuck that. If I can be fucked to death by Grace Jones instead.
I've seen it happen to grandparents. And it's
same.
I said to my nan when she was about, I don't know, like 90 or something. I remember because West Ham had got to the 2006 FA Cup final and it was all I could fucking talk about. But she had been moved into a care home right near where I lived. So despite the fact we were a massive family, I was the one who was most local to her at this stage. It was a bit annoying.
Well, yeah, it was just out of convenience because they'd looked at the map. And you were the closest.
I don't think they'd done it on purpose. I don't think they would have thought Sam's the guy to trust with this. It just fucking happened. But then she knows that I'm like within 5 minutes walking distance. So it's me who gets the calls every day. But fine, whatever. All I could fucking talk to her about was that West Ham were in the cup final.
Yeah.
I mean, this is my Scouse Nan. Right.
Oh, yeah. She, yeah.
She couldn't have given a flying... her attitude was,
Liverpool, weren't they?
First of all, I don't give a fuck about football anyway, because I am an old woman dying in a home. Secondly, if I did, it wouldn't be that fucking team of Hockneys. Right. That was basically her attitude. She's like, I don't really care about football, but if I did, it would be Liverpool, so fuck off.
Yeah.
Right. And she just told me one day, she went, stop talking about that. And I was like,
stupid
what?
Little man.
She went, and she was like, I haven't got long left. And I have to listen to you come here and talk about this daft football match you're going to. I don't care. And I was like, oh, fair enough. And then there was an awkward silence. And I went, what's it like getting old then? Because I had to make conversation. I thought, oh, okay, you want to, maybe I'm taking and not giving enough in these little chats we have.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe you want me to ask you about your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went, what is it like getting older? And she went,
is it good?
She just went,
or is it
without
bad?
Any fucking hesitation, she went, up until 75, fine. After that, waste of fucking time.
And she was 90 at this point.
And she was 90. I said, so you've had 15 years of just futile living. And she's like, yeah. Just fucking shit because you just like always feel shit.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, she's from a different generation. I think, you know, now it's more like probably can get to 90 and still feel all right because of modern medicine.
Let's hope so. I mean, I've got no plans to die soon. But as I say, when the time comes, I'd like it to be at the hand of Grace Jones. So I'm just trying to put that in place now. But, you know, she hasn't got back to me. I'm pretty sure she'd be up for it. Knowing what we know
don't
about
don't see
her.
Why not. Have you sent her pictures? Have you sent her sexy alluring pictures of yourself?
No, yeah. God, I want to keep
lying
that.
On your bed in your best pants.
No, I need to keep that. I keep it as low key as I possibly can, I think. I don't want to put her off. But
I'd like to fire myself out of a cannon.
That'd be good.
Into like maybe a live volcano.
That'd be good. Yeah.
With any luck, I'd die of a heart attack before I hit the molten lava, and then I'd already be dead, and then my corpse would land in the molten lava and immediately incinerate it.
On impact, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be good. I mean, eventually you know when you get these
Mr.
things
Mr. Delaney was incinerated on impact.
You get
that's
these
what
things
the coroner's
on,
report would
on,
say.
You get these things on Groupon and Woucher, which are these experience days you can go on. You know what I mean? Like the hot air balloon or something like that. Well, eventually,
it's always hot air balloon.
Would be one of them. You'd be able to choose from a range of packages about how you go. One of them will be volcano. One will be fucked to death by Grace Jones or a Grace Jones equivalent. If Miss Jones isn't available on the day,
equivalent of same value, same or similar value.
Yeah, how you work
of
that
sex
out? I don't
value.
Know. Maybe there'll be sex robots that'll do it to you by then. Get fucked to death by a sex robot looks like Grace
there
Jones.
There is, I think, at the end of Monty Python's Meaning of Life, there's a geezer played by Graham Chapman who has chosen how to die, and he is being chased by a bunch of what I think in that era were referred to as dolly birds,
topless
in swimming costumes, maybe topless, and they're wearing cycling helmets
and roller skates, weren't they?
Yeah, and they chase him, but he gets chased off a cliff.
Yeah. That would be good. Again, yeah, I'd sign up for that. Hey, there was some knockers on Tales of the Unexpected the other day, 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Which one was it? What time in the morning?
9:30 in the morning.
Fucking hell.
The main character in it, who he'd left his wife because he thought she was boring, and he went on a holiday by himself to Italy, and he was by the pool, and just in the background, a pair of knockers. Topless knockers.
Oh, just in the background. So they
just
didn't
in the
play
background.
A significant part in the story.
It wasn't like a lot of...
I thought, because it would be just like Tales of the Unexpected that the knockers turned out to be haunted.
Haunted knockers, yeah.
Yeah.
It was shit, though.
But the woman who is just the vessel for the ghost tits is unaware. But in fact, they're her reincarnated two ex-husbands.
No, it wasn't as interesting as that, unfortunately, because Tales of the Unexpected is generally shit.
I saw one about a cat that was the reincarnation of Handel. Oh, I think that was it.
Really?
They're on
Sky Arts fucking every day.
But they're not as good as you remember. Is the best bit just the opening titles?
The best bit's the opening titles of the silhouette. There's a bit of nipple on that as well, isn't there? the opening titles.
Talking of tits, it was nice to see, don't know if you saw it, it was nice to see Jared Bowen, West Ham's winger, score using his tits against West Brom on Tuesday night. I haven't seen a titted goal since the 80s,
did
or at least
he,
early 90s.
Push out the tit in order to guide the ball.
Yeah,
he
flexed his tit. Yeah.
Oh, nice one.
Basically, a cross came from the left. The right back came in, got it at the far post and just volleyed it, sort of side foot volley, first time, back across goal. And Jared Bowen, it came at him fast, so he thought fast and he just titted it in.
Titted it
bang!
In. Yeah.
Like that. And the commentator, I think was Ian Dark, just shouted at the top of his head almost spontaneously, tit goal!
Yeah. Because they're so
That's
rare.
That's lovely to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the 80s, we used to see tit goals all the time, didn't we?
Players had bigger tits then, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, Mickey Quinn. Yeah. There was one season where Mickey Quinn scored 18 goals, 9 of which were with his tits.
9 off the tits, yeah.
Got a
and
tit I think that remains a record.
Got a tit hat trick against Leeds.
He got the fast. What it is, I think the stat is it's the fastest tit hat trick in Football League history.
7 minutes.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff.
One off each tit and one sort of came off the cleavage central bit. Yeah,
I think he just squeezed it together and he almost carried the ball over the line.
Yeah,
which is allowed to do.
That was, you were allowed to do that then. Jan Mulby was an expert. He used to score free kicks with his tits.
Long
ridge
tit goals, incredible. Yeah.
Sammy Lee, of course, great tit player.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah, it was nice to see. Nice to see Jared Bowen tit one home.
Yeah. Good stuff. While we're talking about football, do you want to do some predictions for this weekend?
FA Cup
weekend. It is, so all bets are off. It's wild stuff. And the random fixture generator has given us the following fixtures. First of all, Swansea versus Nottingham Forest. An all championship clash. How exciting.
I'll say 2-1 Swansea.
2-1 Swansea. I will say 2-0 Swansea. And then we've got Brighton versus Blackpool. I'll go first on this one if you want. Brighton going really badly under their hipster manager. But I think they'll get through this one 1-0.
I'll say 2-1 again.
2-1 again. West Ham United versus Doncaster. Doncaster of my own League One. So I feel I've got an advantage
any good?
Here. I'm not telling you.
I'll say 2-0 West Ham.
2-0 to West Ham. I will say... I'll also say 2-0 to West Ham. There you go.
Have you played them this season?
I can't remember.
I think I remember.
I
remember you playing them.
No idea. All
didn't
I know,
you go away and see them last season
last
or something?
Season, yeah, last couple of seasons I've been, because it's kind of like our local derby, Doncaster away.
Really?
But not this season. But all I remember about this season is that we lost 2-1 at home against Plymouth the other night, which is just the lowest point in our entire history. So, no, it is. It's not even an exaggeration. It's the lowest point in the fucking club's history.
I thought things were going a bit better under Phil Parkinson.
Well, Parkinson's been sacked. We've got Lee Johnson now.
So it's Jack Ross, then Phil Parkinson,
and now
then Johnson.
And now Johnson.
Yeah, no, I did know that. I thought Johnson was starting to do all right.
8 points from a possible 21. What do you reckon? Is that all right?
No, that's not all right.
It's not all right at all, is it? No. Millwall versus Bristol City. This is also in the cup.
Whoa.
I think it's me to go first,
you
actually.
Go first.
Yeah. Millwall, Bristol City. I think this will be a 1-1 draw.
Well, it's in the cup, though. But
yeah,
it'll go to penalties.
After 90 minutes.
All right. Okay, I'll say Millwall 0, Bristol City 1.
Okay. And finally, my very own Sunderland at home against Shrewsbury.
Ooh.
Can the depths that we've plummeted to go even deeper?
Well, what division are Shrewsbury in?
This is just League One, this. This is a standard Common or Garden League One. Tussle, I think they call them. What do you reckon?
1-0.
1-0. Fucking hell. I think we'll somehow win this 1-0. I'm not sure how, but it's... Oh, God, it's so grim. Just before we go, I don't know if you've got anything else you want to chuck in on your agenda. Good or bad, here's a headline for you. Teenagers offer free hand sanitizer to shoppers in Bradford, but it's super glue. Good or bad?
Yeah, 10. I saw that. I mean, it's really cruel, but so brilliantly creative. I mean, like, it's like, oh, what do you want to do today? Oh, you know what I was thinking we could do? We could go out and pretend to be giving out hand sanitizer with super glue, and then we'll just stick everyone's hands. It's the sort of thing a Batman villain would do. Dr. Glue.
Here's a quote from shopper Kathy Smith speaking to Yorkshire Live website. She says, the lad approached me, showing me the bottle of sanitizer, asking if I would like a free pump. He was eagerly waiting for me to hold out my hand with a massive smile on his face. They all started to laugh. I asked, what's in the bottle? He said, sanitizer, while laughing. I heard one of the lads laughing, and he said, fucking super glue.
Oh, shit. Oh, actually, they're fucking rubbish. If you're going to do it, do it.
Do it properly,
don't
yeah.
Don't giggle and give it away.
You don't laugh when you give someone free hand sanitizer. She says they all walked off laughing when I said, I'll pass, thanks. Very clever, yeah. Kathy Smith. Well done.
If an adolescent boy offers you anything whilst giggling, always refuse it.
Life rule.
Very simple.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right, that's it for this one. Have a lovely weekend, everybody, and we'll be back next week with more of the same.
Goodbye. Thank you. You're so kind.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.